Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Tony K. Chueri, MD, Director of the Lank Center for Genitourinary Oncology, Director of the Kidney Cancer Center, and Senior Physician at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, as well as the Jerome and Nancy Kohlberg Chair and Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, to discuss the FDA approval of nivolumab and cabozantinib in advanced renal cell carcinoma. On January 22, 2021, the FDA approved the combination of nivolumab and cabozantinib for the frontline treatment of patients with advanced RCC. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 CheckMate 9ER trial, in which the combination led to an improvement in overall survival, progression-free survival, and overall response rate versus sunitinib. Additionally, health-related quality of life data, which were presented during the 2020 ESMO Virtual Congress, showed that patients who received the combination experienced a significant improvement in quality of life versus sunitinib. Although other combinations are approved in the frontline setting, the combination of nivolumab and cabozantinib is unique in that it demonstrated benefit across all patient subgroups, irrespective of International Metastatic RCC Database Consortium risk score, said Chueri. In our exclusive interview, Chueri provided additional perspective on the FDA approval of nivolumab and cabozantinib in advanced RCC. Could you highlight the significance of the approval of nivolumab and cabozantinib in advanced RCC? How do you see the regimen fitting into the frontline treatment paradigm?
This is one of the last attempts to use combination against single agent VEGF TKI, which has been the standard drug like sunitinib, for example, for a long time. And refreshing news that the study 9ER, CheckMate 9ER, met all the endpoints, primary and secondary endpoint, progression-free survival, response rate, overall survival, and also quality of life benefit over sunitinib. So it's going to be another option for frontline metastatic clear cell RCC. It's not the only combination that is approved, but I think there are some distinctions, especially with the quality of life data, but also the fact, unlike other combination like nivolumab and ipilimumab, the fact that this combination showed also activity in good risk patients, so good, intermediate, and poor IMDC risk groups.
What notable toxicity signals were observed with the combination?
The toxicity overall, if you take it as a whole package with two drugs, is more common than one drug. So the toxicities are higher. But we look also at the quality of life, the patient experience, which also tended to be better with the combination. We look at toxicities that led to complete treatment discontinuation due to, adverse event, which remained low for the combination overall. The rate of use of steroids, especially after 14 and 28 days, also is low in general in the combination. Now, of course, these are two drugs. They have side effects. One thing to mention is that the dose of cabozantinib in CheckMate 9ER, in the combination of cabozantinib and nivolumab, is not the same dose when we use cabozantinib as monotherapy. The approved indication of cabozantinib monotherapy in first line and second line renal cell cancer is 60 milligram orally once a day. With the combination of cabozantinib, it's 40 milligram once a day. Even with that, the efficacy endpoint were met. It's possible that the toxicity could be lower and the quality of life better because of that adjustment, perhaps against full dose of sunitinib.
You mentioned the quality of life data with nivolumab and cabozantinib, so could you speak to the importance of testing for quality of life in this space? Will these data have any impact on how the regimen will be utilized?
Quality of life is the voice of the patient. We can grade toxicities as much as we want. There are also lab toxicities, etc. The quality of life, these are questionnaires that the patient answer how they feel in general, and validated really questionnaire in cancer, some specific to kidney cancer. Now, the problem is it is still very hard to extrapolate and say this is the quality of life in this combination against sunitinib versus the other combination, therefore this combination associated with quality of life, simply because the timing of the questionnaire is different. There is not one questionnaire and one quality of life metric. There are, you know, many. And there isn't a real hardcore consensus on what constitutes a clinically meaningful quality of life. And now there are also elements. So you may not have general, you know, improvement quality of life, but there are elements that are very important that are part of quality of life, like fatigue, like diarrhea, that could be different. So you have to dig you know, into this very closely. There will be more quality, more granular quality of life data at the next meeting with CheckMate 9ER.
How do you foresee the approval of nivolumab and cabozantinib impacting the frontline treatment selection process among the other approved regimens in this space?
A lot of it is going to depend how familiar and what practices do. There are differences. I think how I put it is more so in terms of IO versus IO VEGF. And, you know, axitinib has a shorter half-life. The quality of life hasn't been really major compared to sunitinib, but it's a regimen people are familiar with. On the other hand, cabozantinib in combination with nivo is, cabozantinib is a drug available and been used for some time, like axitinib, but cabozantinib have been used frontline. There are really differences here. There is an ongoing phase 3 trial with cabozantinib, nivolumab, and ipilimumab versus standard now, if you want, nivolumab, ipilimumab, not sunitinib, you know, also that is ongoing. And if this regimen is to be superior in the future, you know, maybe folks with experience to cabozantinib, nivolumab, gonna use it. It's an embarrassment of riches. And, you know, when you have overall survival in all these combination, and this is not the question we're going to have, Cabo-Nivo or Pembro-Axi, as the VEGF-IO, let's say, combination with an overall survival benefit. I think what we're going to also have an entry with other VEGF-IO, such Pembro-Lenvatinib. At this time also, we have a press release showing that combination have an overall survival benefit. So folks need to be familiar with these regimen. They may have their own preferences. Sometimes also things can come into play, as we said, the quality of life, the dosing. The good thing is patient, you know, will have options. The question is, if someone went with one regimen, VEGF-IO, could they switch to another VEGF-IO, knowing that, yes, it does have OS benefit, but now the patient is treated, it's not the same indication. You know, we're doing also trial in that space. It's going to get a bit complicated on renal cell cancer. That's why our group and several others are remain interested in targets and drug outside the VEGF, the VEGF receptor, and the PD-1, PD-L1, and CTLA-4 blockade. One such target is HIF-2, preliminary activity in a small trial going to a phase 3 trial with HIF-2 inhibitor MK6482. Another drug we were interested in is glutaminase inhibitor, you know, as a class of agent that work on tumor metabolism, which is very important in clear cell RCC. We know the metabolism dysfunction since the time of TCGA and before, but unfortunately that data had the press release that the combination with the glutaminase inhibitor and cabozantinib was not superior to cabozantinib alone. So this was quite disappointing, but we have to look at all the data. So I think to me, overall, why I could see how folks and you know, patients and physicians say, look, these are all where compared to sunitinib, how do we pick? To me, it's something positive to have an embarrassment of choices at a time where during my training, you know, interferon and drugs that really didn't have activity, or when we hailed sorafenib as suddenly a drug that is a game changer in renal cell cancer, and how, you know, we are today.
What is your future outlook for the field of RCC now that this combination is approved? What's on the horizon?
This field of RCC and GU cancer in general, which I do, is moving very fast with more drugs approved. There has been a major focus on frontline metastatic clear cell renal cell cancer. This is where the treatment were done. There are several other areas where if there are changes, you know, these changes will may take off quickly. So the non-clear cell histology, 10 to 20% of all renal cell cancer. Unfortunately, what we do is clear cell, we extrapolate. But there are some, you know, studies coming, and there are activity for VEGF inhibitor and checkpoint inhibitor less than clear cell RCC. There are trials that are coming, putting checkpoint inhibitor against VEGF. A trial also, a SWOG trial, looking at cabozantinib versus sunitinib that finished accrual, that hopefully a small trial, but will tell us a TKI of choice. The other setting I want to mention, and we have trials, some still ongoing, some finished accrual, is the adjuvant setting. We know very well that high-risk renal cell cancer that is treated with a curative intent still at risk to recur anywhere between 20 to 50%, depending on, several clinical and pathologic feature. And we have two trials, one with single agent pembrolizumab, one with single agent atezolizumab, that finish accrual. And other trials, very important, like the PROSPER trial, neoadjuvant nivolumab, followed by adjuvant nivolumab, and other trials from the UK, Rampart and others, and that are ongoing. But these two trials of single agent atezolizumab, pembrolizumab finish accrual. Now, if these trials are positive, especially if they're largely positive, and there's an uptake in the community, and these trials, you know, decrease the risk of recurrence, they are safe, then, you know, all our frontline regimen, do they apply? We do not have data on patient who has tumor progressed, let's say, on adjuvant checkpoint inhibitor. Then should we do that regimen? That could be a total shift in our thinking. And we actually do not have much data whether using immune checkpoint inhibitor after adjuvant progression on adjuvant immune checkpoint inhibitor, you know, has any merit. So a lot of great questions there, but we're going to take them day by day, because 2020 and now 2021 is teaching us that we have to live it day at a time.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and Enclave SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.